You've been placed on hold. Please wait.
Hi, George.
Oh, hang on a sec, mate. Are you there?
Yeah, still there.
Sorry, mate, I'm just on headphones. Hi, mate. No, I'm just touching base with your buddy. That was all. I haven't heard from you. Just checking you're all right.
Oh, okay. No, actually, last night, sorry, I saw your calls on my other phone. I'm not really using that phone, so I don't really see anything unless I switch it on every so often. Just ping me on WhatsApp.
I've had quite a bit of, obviously you've probably seen the emails, Linton, Aubrey replied. I've just had a very long conversation with Alex and Aubrey this morning. I don't know what to say. It's effectively, it's a weird thing. They were all positive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. No, I just think if things are moving in the right direction, then, yeah, people will come around. But, it takes a bit of time.
So, basically, Linton's been busting my balls, and he's said some very personal, hurtful things. Yep.
Yeah.
On a personal level, hard to swallow, because same with you, really. Like, whatever you and he think, I've actually never... Are you being sued? Is he being sued? No,
but I think the thing is we weren't expecting to be sued for this, you know, as I said,
it
was Granby and Sunny thing.
But anyway, the point is, like, I think we've had big chats about it, let's not go back into it. Linton, basically, essentially like you were a month ago,
mm-hmm.
So busting my balls, giving me a hard time, driving me when I want to, literally want to kill him. But this morning, he did reply with a very decent email regarding the LSC.
Yeah.
effectively, speaking to Aubrey and Alex, I'd like to update you if I can on what the outcomes and potential proposals going forward are. And I think they're very positive. I think the feedback to me was fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's basically the benefits of being a team. I take a long time, do lots of shit in lots of detail, a bit like you, although I think you're quicker than me, if I'm honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But effectively, agenda was... So the LSC agenda, I don't know if I had a chance to look at it, because
yesterday, yeah.
But I'm assuming you're tied up with other IT stuff at the moment, or home dynamics.
A bit of both. I've been trying to sort a few things out on my own sort of home life briefly.
On that basis, do you want to chat later today or even now about aspirations, re-property and stuff? Because you said you were going to go away and think about it.
I'm kind of keen to just get my own place, to be honest. I was thinking about it quite a bit actually yesterday because a mate came round and he's just got a mortgage. I just want to get
in this country or another?
I'm kind of okay.
So basically, what I said to you before, effectively, in summary, was, differences aside, let's try and get back to, where we have been and blah, blah. I can help you do what you want to achieve. I need to know what you want to achieve. If you own something offshore, and spend time offshore, then there's a potential benefit that we can leverage for the company in terms of tax efficiency.
Yeah.
We might be able to do that without you because obviously there are other people that may be able to act for us. But, and also the advantage, the advantage of being offshore is it's affordable. You can own something probably within the next year, 6 months. So take for example, even if we just said, look, fine, fuck it. I'll tell you what, mate, instead of fucking you getting X or whatever, we'll give you the funds to buy in Bansko or in Burgas or... And you own a house outright, done, boom, done. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right. If you want to buy in London, it's a completely different fucking ballgame, isn't it?
No, I don't want to buy anything in London. London doesn't interest me because it's awkward in London. My current situation is very sort of simple at the moment. I used to, at one point, be paying about £400 of rent up here in Newcastle. I've not had time because other housemates have left and I've not had time to repopulate the house. So I'm basically footing most of the £1,100 a month at the moment.
How much?
1,100. Alice, who I stay with, obviously, she hasn't been paid rent because she kind of, A, she owed me some money, and I've done quite a bit of cat-sitting for her and stuff over the, you know, for 2-3 years. So, you know, I've been allowed to stay there, but she needs money now, really, if I'm going to stay there. So I need to be able to give her some sort of income.
How much does she want?
Well, she's got a big place, and she wanted a ridiculous sum of money. She wanted 1,000. Now, I can probably bring that down to 750, to be honest, and I think that's a fair price because it is quite a big house, and it will be my own space if I'm living with her, at least.
Would you rather live with her than stay at mine?
I would, in a way, because if I want to bring friends around and stuff, I don't feel, you know, I feel it's my house, whereas it will always be your house, in a way, if I...
I know you're answering that going, oh, George, don't be moody. But, like, no, because I know you'll think, mate, that's fine. All I ask is that you're honest with me, mate, because then I can help you knowing the honest facts, right? So, and I totally fucking understand that, mate.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it doesn't happen very often at the moment, virtually never, but, I mean, like, if I do go out, for instance, and friends want to come back at 3 in the morning, it just feels a bit more... doable, so if I'm at yours, well, you're obviously not there, and I can do what the fuck I like, but, you know, in reality, if you were there, I think it would be a bit rude and wrong to bring friends around and make a noise and stuff, to see what I'm saying, whereas at least in that place, it's a detached house as well, so the neighbours would be, you know, oblivious to noise.
And also, let's be honest, the relationship between you and Alice is different to the relationship between you and I.
Yeah, yeah, I've known Alice for donkey's years, like 10 years.
But not just that. Like we have a business relationship, whatever. I've told you, like, I want us to get back to where we were, and we've had some difficulties and so on, right? But by the way, also for your knowledge, I did the intercompany reconciliation of accounts last week, a minimum 150,000 I have made us in terms of tax savings and VAT recovery. I'm sending that over to all Albie. Albie's off until tomorrow, and I'm working on the reconciliation between GCV and all other costs at the moment.
Yeah, I think this is what's touching a nerve with people because there seems to be a bit of a black hole in terms of finances. I mean, the other thing I'm thinking... So the other thing that crossed my mind, basically, is if I go down the route of getting a property, I want to just, where my frustration is, I guess, is I'm still in rented property. I don't think I can stay in this for much longer.
How old are you, Dave?
Well, I'm 33. And look, a lot of friends who haven't gone to uni, actually, are all married and got houses, to be frank.
Jason.
Yeah.
42. All my friends are married with kids and got houses.
Yeah, okay.
All I'm saying is I can completely fucking relate, mate. You know, like I woke up this morning and I was really down.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt really low. I was like, even though like things at work are actually starting to turn for the positive, yeah, mm-hmm. I was just like, look at me, I'm 40 fucking two. I've killed myself for 3 years, you know, and... Everyone else is married with fucking kids. And I like look on Facebook, and I try not to even look at social media now because it depresses me. But, like, you know, I look at it and it's like, you know, I see, like, Adam with his wife and his kids. They go walking in the weekend. They're up in the mountain taking pictures. And, you know, everyone, there's only one friend, Alex Fowler, my muscle-bound mate, who mm-hmm. is a fucking got major issues. He's the only guy I know that isn't married with kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, it's fucking... In a different way, like for you, I know you're like, because at 33, I was the same. People have bought houses, I want to buy a house, blah, 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 right? Yeah. But in the same way, I'm 42, and I'm like, fucking hell, everyone's got a fucking family, and, you know, and it's hard, mate, it's horrible. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. But I do want to help you, but I also, you know, if it can help the company, great, but ultimately, you don't let me dictate, well, you won't anyway, because you're a stubborn little bastard.
Yeah.
But, you know, what is it you want to achieve, mate?
So, you know, then if I look at friends who went to uni, like, the decent ones that have actually got somewhere, you know, some of them are earning quite decent sums of money. Like, I've got a mate who's earning six figures for a security company. I've got a mate Alice obviously earns about, I don't know, 70-80k. So I'm kind of looking at myself and thinking, well, you know, if I was to just go and get a job elsewhere, I can get, you know, definitely 70-80. I mean, I was offered a job for 70 in Middlesbrough for, gosh, it must have been about 2012.
And let's be honest with each other. If we're back to being friends and talking sensibly, right?
Yeah.
I know this. And Mike, you know me. I will let the company go to fucking shit but in order to stand by my morals, what I believe, right? Because I am like you, a stubborn dick. Yeah? But, and I've said to you previously, if you want to go, go. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Hang on a second.
Hand on heart.
Yeah.
I do not want you to leave.
No.
You know as well as I do, if you leave, I'm in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the company's in pain. Same thing, yeah? But, and so I'm not going to hide it, mate. Like, if you push me far enough, then I'll go, yes, go. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right? But I would be, like, the things that Lincoln said to me recently, mate, I'm... You know, it really fucking hurts me, honestly, on a personal level, buddy. It really hurts me. The fact that how you were with me recently, it does hurt me. I am a sensitive prick and whatever, and I do make probably too many emotional decisions. But bottom line is, yes, of course, I same for Linton. So all I want to do with Linton, as soon as possible, is make sure, on a principle basis, I want to make sure he is better off than everyone that left. Now, I should be saying, what does the company want for Linton and what is the best decision, but it isn't. Well, because of Linton's loyalty, yeah, even though he'd give literally, like, he's not being kind to me at the moment, but that's okay. I've made my decisions that however anybody treats me, I'm going to continue to do what I believe to be right, and I'm going to do what I think is right. As simple as that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want Linton to be better off than Sam. As simple as that, for example. Sam has left, Linton hasn't, he needs to be better off because he is stuck with us, stayed with us, and he needs to be better off. That's the way I see it, and that's what drives my morality. That's what drives even if you have doubted it in times, you're wrong, because it's my morality and my heart that drives my decisions. And I want Linton to be better off than anyone that left his company.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
That just feels right to me. And if I can make that happen, I will move hell and earth to do so. And the same for you.
Yeah.
I want you also to be in a better position than your peers, effectively. I don't want people to be... We're not a fucking charity, mate.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day... I want people to be rewarded. I know there's loads of politics and domestics and fucking all this shit, right? But what is it you want to achieve? Where? I can tell you my views. I can ask you to consider them. But it's your personal life. It's not business. So I don't want... Maybe you're going to say I want to buy a place in Newcastle, for example. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to be in Newcastle. It's too far away. It doesn't provide any fucking strategic benefit to the business. Well, end of, really. And I can't help you in Newcastle. I can help you majorly in Cheshire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I can help you if you want to go overseas and buy something, whatever. But these are my wishes and this is your life and my duty. And even though I hate you, and Linton, for giving me such a hard time and doubting my integrity. I hope I will in time and in years to come, I hope in 10 years we'll be laughing about it and you'll say, do you know what? We were wrong. I hope that's what you'll say to me. Yeah. But right now, what is it that Jason Earle wants or needs and what is fair? And I don't think you've ever been, and Jason, more than Linton, more than anybody actually, I don't think you've ever been unfair, mate. Honestly, I don't think you've ever been unfair. I'm trying to work the shareholdings, so the progress, I'm not sure if I shared this with you already, is Matt and Anthony have agreed to relinquish their shares to take non-voting shares.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a step forward. I need to resolve stuff with Mehul in terms of what his holding is and so on, because I think we do have different views. But that shouldn't be, you know, that shouldn't be everybody's discussion, because actually that relates to conversations that happened back in a board meeting with Schneider. I haven't really changed my position. I told you like a year, 18 months ago, I said I would always have the view that pro rata, the company has paid to buy the shares. Yeah. Therefore, it's fair that people get pro rata shares. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Matthew and Anthony, and this is massively to your and intern and anybody that gets shares advantage, is if people get pro rata shares, then it creates 20% of the main voting shares that can be allocated to you and Lintz and maybe others.
Yeah.
In future, for the likes of maybe Yogesh or whatever, they can have non-voting shares. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a different situation. But what Mehul wants is Mehul wants to have his cake and eat it, is how I see it. And I don't want to fight with Mehul. I want to work with him and do what's fair. And I'm hopeful that maybe the midpoint is the way to solve it. But ultimately, he thinks he doesn't have to, like, basically we talked about, you weren't involved in these discussions, but there was back in Schneider's place, there was a myriad of conversations, right? And I said, look, I want to go and fight Schneider. Yeah. Sell me your shares. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mehul went, I'll sell him the shares $5,000. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then things changed. And obviously, at this point, I'm like, yeah, I wish I could. But I'm not sure that I was even allowed to under the shareholders agreement and so on. But whatever. Anyway, so $5,000. Bottom line is, I took on the fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and like, you've seen all the fucking emails and shit, right? I took on the fight. I worked for 6 months. I didn't get paid a penny. Yeah?
Yeah.
I spent my own money to go and see lawyers and so on. Since I have reclaimed that money from the company, by the way, to be transparent. About $10,000. Yeah. And bear in mind... anyway, so that was that. And we talked about loads of options and blah, blah. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't remember exactly how it all worked out, mate. I don't remember. Yeah. I don't know exactly. And if I'm honest, I don't think there was ever a conclusive discussion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like you and me, like I've always said you are entitled to shares. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, you recall conversations, and there you go. I've got nothing to hide, mate. As far as I know, you're entitled to shares. We never, be honest with me, we never determined a number. We never determined the voting, non-voting rights. We just talked about it, and you trusted me. You trusted that basically you would do the right thing. And that I would do the right thing. And I will. I promise you. I will do the right thing. Right? And I will do the right thing by Linton as well. Okay? But if my view is, at the moment, the company has paid to buy out Schneider at 1.2 million. So if at that time, the pro rata holding... So bear in mind, when we started this, Mehul had 4.98%. I think we had about 12%. Right?
Yeah.
So even if you just look at those two direct figures... If we pay 1.2 million to Schneider to buy him out, you can see the massive differential in contribution from my family. And as I've said to you before, remember there's like six people in my fucking number, versus Mehul, right? And I'm like, so it seems fair if you do the pro rata thing, it basically leaves Anthony and Matthew with 20%. Mehul was like 24% and whatever, right? Now, Mehul's view is, you remember this conversation I had with you, right? Like about Mehul will always take the view that he had the right to buy 50% from Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Matt buys 50% from Matt, he ends up with 36%, or 36.2 or something like that,
35.2
or something. And all of this, by the way, only changes for the way the numbers work, only changes my mother's holding from 53 to 55% or 52 to 55%. It's irrelevant almost to mum and I, yeah? The reason it's relevant is because of the amount it frees up to you.
Others, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my view is, look, at the end of the day, if the company is paid to buy out Schneider, to do this, and part of that, then it's fair that, you know, it's a pro, and I'll be honest with you, my genuine view regarding, say there had been no conversations, my genuine view is that pro rata is fair.
Yeah.
Surely it is fair. And also, off the back of that, Mehul, all the shit aside, right, and this isn't about scoring points, I want to work with Nehal to fix this, right, but, you know, ultimately, Nehal didn't go on the board. Matt Chung had the right to appoint a director. Who came? Adam Bose. Mm-hmm. If he hadn't done that, none of us would even be in the game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as. Secondly, when antiques needed to be bought, and there was a risk, hence why I got sued for $200,000 last week, yeah, you know, there was a, you know, who took the risk? Me, Fosi. You know, I don't want to kind of fucking go, oh, look how great we are. But seriously, mate, every fucking turn, we've stepped up. And also, so have you. Because, you know, you took less salary, you fucking worked all hours, you came down. I didn't do this on my own. I never proclaimed that I did. Yeah? So my if I was to be able to dictate the situation, it would be, look, the company's bought the shares. It's all been prorated. It's all completely fair based on that prorata. That frees up 20%. Matthew and Anthony have agreed to take voting shares, non-voting shares as opposed to voting shares. And therefore, that gives us 20% voting shares or 18% or whatever the number is, 19%, yeah? And we should give that to Jason Lintz and then maybe Aubrey, whoever we deem fit that gets voting shares. I don't think we want to have 400 people having voting shares because history has taught us that the more people that are involved in decisions, the more hard it is to make those decisions. And that would be my final view. But obviously, Mehal will say, no, I was entitled to 50% of Matt's shares. And I will say, but that's fine. If you were, could you just show me the document or evidence or voice recording or, you know, or email or whatever, and if he can prove that, well then, but then, and then my next point becomes, fine, so you're entitled to buy 50% match shares. Well, that means that both you, Mehal, or Shankar Patel, and Cindy Busfield need to contribute external funds to the company, because at the moment, the company, who in law and in the way the world looks at things, is effectively a person, and at the moment, that person, Rand Limited, Jet Limited, has paid its own money to buy Matt's shares. And then, you know, and then Matt has given that money back as part of his settlement. If that's not happening, then you and I need to pay. And I've said to him, I'm totally willing to do this. If my mother and you need to buy those shares, then we have to contribute. And I don't know whether that number is half of the 85 grand that Matt had, and that's what I'm trying to work out at the moment, or actually it's half of, let's say, 200 grand or half a million, that actually is the cost of the differential. Because if you actually think what, so the differential between what Mehal gets in a pro rata and what Mehal gets if he buys 50% is, say, 12%. Now, over the course of the last 2 years, there's an argument, and I don't know the answer to this, by the way. Appreciate your views. There's an argument that that 12% is worth 40 grand or 80 grand or whatever Matt sold his shares for. As in, Mehal should put in 42,000, my mum should put in 42,000, effectively, therefore, we bought the shares off Matt, Matt took that money and put it into the company. Now the company is £82,000 better off. And this is notwithstanding any GCV reconciliations or transparency, by the way, that's a separate matter. So I've said, if you're not going to do, you know, that I'm saying that has to be the way it has. Surely that makes sense. Like, if the company's bought them, the company's paid. If not, and I don't agree with this, by the way, but if I'm forced to agree with it, then Mehal, you, your dad and my mum have to put in half and half, and the company has 80 grand more. He doesn't want that. He wants the uplift from Matt's shares and no contribution from external funds. And I'm like, that's just not equitable, mate. How is that equitable to any shareholder? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Anyway, but the point being is, obviously, as I've said, it doesn't really, literally, none of those things really materially matter to me, because ultimately, from mum's point of view, she's 52 or 55 or 56 or 53. I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but something around those. It doesn't really make a massive difference. The difference it makes is what gets left with Matthew and Anthony. And the reason I care about that It's because they've agreed to relinquish their shares to non-voting, which means I can satisfy you and Linton.
Yes.
That's why I care. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, that makes a fair point.
So, I don't know. That's an ongoing discussion, then try and work that out and blah, blah. But filling in on the background. Sorry?
Yeah, and I see that very much as a medium-term thing.
Yeah, but I do want to get it sorted, mate. And I want you to have shares and I want Linton to have shares. Like, of course I do. You just talked to me. You've just gone like, oh, my friend's earning 70 grand. Well, great. Does your friend have expenses in a business that might sell out for a few million? Because listen, mate, the reality is, yeah, we might have been having hard times the last 6 months, right? But this company still has a lot of fucking potential. And I feel, listen, no road to success, mate. I know I get all my fucking pontification bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Go online and listen to a speech by Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday.
Okay.
I'm serious, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And that is the reality of us. It basically says we either die as individuals or we kick ass as a fucking team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And we have loads of prospects and opportunity. And that's it, really.
Yeah.
So that's the thing with the shares anyway. But the LSC stuff, I think they gave fair feedback. And then can I just... So that was just some history. But, sorry, 2 points. One, I want to pick up on what you want. In terms of housing and share and life. And the second thing I want to pick up on is basically the outcome of discussions with Alex Norbury this morning and the feedback on LSC, which all have been positive. And the third point was really just to touch base because you've gone into one of your disappearing acts.
No, I've just been quiet. I've got lots of rubbish that's been brewing up.
Number three, you're fine. Yeah. You've just been doing Jason shit.
I'll be sort of back on track.
That's fine.
Just over a week's time in Ireland for a few days.
You do me a favour. Ping me a WhatsApp or an email. Just let me know when you're away because Aubrey's away.
Okay. Yeah. Second to the 8th, I think.
Second to the 8th of August.
Yes.
Okay, so what we might do is not have an LSC next. Well, we might. Let's do this. So, first thing, Jason's disappearing act is just Jason. Done. Off list, yeah?
Yeah. Best ping me on WhatsApp as well if you can't get through on phone, and I'll just reply back or phone back like I have done.
And you are on Jason Earl. Well, you won't just mean nothing to you.
I can't remember.
Jason Earl 1 RAM.
Okay,
can I send you a message on WhatsApp now?
I've got my other phone. I just need to settle down and get it all set up now. Just not got around to it.
Okay. I've actually got a fourth point as well I need to touch base with you on.
Go on, quickly.
The fourth point is Livestalk. I don't have any idea or any angles on what we can do or what... Listen, we've got the right now. You're welcome, by the way, to buy all of Stuart's shares for £1.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I don't care whether Stuart owns them, Heather owns them, we own them, whatever. It was never, whatever you think, it was never my intention to leverage an advantage over Stuart to get those shares. It was to create an opportunity to acquire shares if we needed them strategically. So I have created that opportunity. Bottom line is, I've no fucking idea what to do with it, Jason.
Yeah.
Stuart yesterday. I don't know how owning those shares gives us power or value. And I literally, and it's rare that I'm in this position not to see an angle. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I spoke with Stuart for about half an hour yesterday and he gave me a few ideas and I'm still mulling them over. But how can we leverage the power of that? And I don't care, listen, I don't care if Stuart owns them, if we own them, if some guy who doesn't own anything owns them in Guadalajara. The only reason I sought it was if it could be of value, we had it. I don't know if there's an angle. I don't know what value they are. I don't know what to do with it. One of my potential options, and, I sent an email out yesterday and I copied James Vost in, is because he's good at this shit with shares and stuff, And also, one of my other things is... to ring Andrew Ronica and say, look, we've got the right to buy these shares, what can I do?
Because
Andrew rang me on last week and gave me this contact at Teamer.
Yeah. No, I saw and noticed.
And I spoke to that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's the kind of people we want to be involved with, mate. He's like blue chip, fucking huge news history. La la la. But I haven't had a chance to digest or think how that adds strategic value, blah blah.
Yeah, yeah. I think people see it as a bit chalk and cheese in terms of what they do and what we do, and in order to make that marry up.
Well, maybe there's nothing. Jace, maybe there's nothing, yeah? But
yeah.
As a startup, effectively, as we're trying to be, surely we should be looking at ideas, any opportunities, anything. So I've got a direct line into the CEO, yeah? He's accredited to all these agencies. So the difference is, and this is a bit sad in a way, when I speak to him and tell him what we do, yeah? Do you know what he says to me?
Go on.
Sounds like there is huge synergies and we're very keen to speak to you more.
Yeah.
When I speak to my own team, well, actually, the only person that there's a couple of emails I haven't read, so I'll reserve rights. But the other thing, but the person that's replied most in earnest is...
Was this the Alec email from yesterday?
No. Who do you think I haven't read Alec's yet, but so it might be Alec. No, it's Matthew Chong.
Okay.
You know, he's CEO of another company. He's working his fucking nuts off, but he basically looked at it for half an hour, spent his lunchtime an hour looking at it, blah, blah, and he's getting me through. I've skim read it, so I won't surmise it here. But like, you know, building relationships with, like, whether it was with Reuters or with people like Tim, if you look at the people that work for Tima, mate, they're all Cambridge, Oxford, straight A's, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm probably, you know, I'll come up with my own ideas and blah, blah. But, and, you know, again, I send out that email and, you know, it was meant in good faith to kind of go, oh, quick, innovation jam, 24 hours, bang, to share your ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem is I get some people reply, like Matt.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what Alex has said. You know, with actually maybe this, maybe that, but not this, but not that. You know,
I think it's a case of how we make the relationship work, because I think we do have currently as businesses, we have very separate and different targets in terms of our audience. And there are synergies in terms of what we can achieve. But I think they're long term things. And therefore, if we do something with them in terms of buyout or whatever,
example, what if they've got a million customers and they're willing to provide our service to their customers at £10 each?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the conversation should be had one way or another.
But all I'm saying is we've got to get into this mindset. And I'm not criticising you, by the way, here, because I think you're more open-minded to this stuff. But, you know, Linton is like an ambassador of non-change.
Yeah. I know what you're sort of saying. He had a bit of a stubbornness about it.
There's a couple of other things, actually. So anyway, that's that. We'll see how that progresses. There's another thing. I've spoken to Jarrett Davis.
Yeah.
Potentially to help us with TFX TTM,
yeah.
if only because we don't have resources to do it.
Yeah.
So we could say something like, tell you what, you take X percent of whatever we can increase revenue by from this point. Stuart has some views on this in terms of we should be off, that is a key tool in our armory to defeat Raj, Sean, and LiveSquawk by offering both, you know, retail service and also the white labels at a reduced price. Again, come back to them, just sharing thoughts. The other thing is TPS. So Yogesh called me last week, Friday.
Yeah.
He said, look, ultimately Sam's leaving. We've always had better content, la, 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 la. But if Sam leaves, I'm concerned we're going to have a gulf. I'm also concerned that, you know, if, let's say, worst case scenario, Linton left, yeah?
Yeah.
Really, we're going to have no choice but to TPS the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Now, Linton has been busting my balls and I thought was being very negative and I was concerned he was being negative in the office. I understand that's categorically not the situation. Actually, he's been a legend. And as I said to Aubrey earlier, Alex Piper shared this with me, and the hairs on my arms raised, and I got all tingly, because apparently, actually, in the office, Linton's being a legend.
Yeah.
So, hats off to him, you know, blah, blah.
No, I think he does manage to put a brave face on when he needs to.
I read my message to Linton this morning to Aubrey. I will share it with you the same to Linton from me. Despite all the above, which is our back and forth firing, let's not get back into it, please, Capitals. But I hear that you're doing a great job and being very positive, and I'll just say a thank you for that, and that, as you know, it's much needed. On an additional positive note, I did do the intercompany accounts last week and tax planning, and it's made us a minimum of $150,000 in both saved costs and VAT recovery. Thank you for raising the time to read my email and the LFP agenda. I appreciate the full points and the response that you've raised, and I'm predominantly grateful for the time and effort that you, Orb, Alex, etc., put into the replies and thoughts accordingly. I'll reply in further earnest in due course, but believe we may all be heading in the same direction and finally hoping to leverage the benefits of being a team. Anyway, my main points are simply thanks for the positivity in the office. He replied, busy with earnings, bear with. I said, no need to reply. It was just thank you.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So, TPS, so basically what Yogi shared to me, I don't know when you last spoke to him, he basically said, look, the bottom line is, mate, I don't know what you think about this, right, but, you know, I'm the guy that was absolutely advocate of, we can't do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I went and met Bloomberg and they said, well, we'll fucking destroy anybody that does it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Yogesh has met with people like Sunil and stuff
Bloomberg,
and he's like, the pressure's not there anymore. They don't give a shit. It was just when they launched their sport, they realised it's different. They're actually fulfilling a different market need to what we do. And he's like, and I think Yogesh is frustrated. And there is a retention point of view here as well. I think Yogesh is frustrated that people like Harry, who he considers to be thick as shit,
mm-hmm.
are beating him to headlines.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, the analogy I used with Aubrey this morning was, it's like we're all doing F1, right? And yet, F1 has defined that you can only have a 3-litre engine to compete mm-hmm. in F1. And yet, you know, let's say they are McLaren and we're Ferrari. McLaren have borne out. They've borne out their engine. They've bored it out, and they're now their engine, which they present to the fucking regulation authority as a 3-liter. But the actual engine they're using in the fucking races is 2.8.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, no, we won't do that. It's against regulations. We'll always abide absolutely strictly to the law. Blah, blah. And we're coming last, and then we realise.
Yeah. So Yogesh is concerned that we are working from a disadvantage. I think also Yogesh sees Sam going and thinks, well, I need to. You've got to keep Lintz and Yog on par in that regard. Otherwise, you know, the reality of it is, as you know, Yog has spoke to Sunil and Harai. They're at Bloomberg. You've got to weigh out that risk and offset that in the next sort of 4 months, I reckon.
I think in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. In coming, you know, a couple of months would be good.
But I'm trying to do that with LinkedIn. LinkedIn's like, oh, I can't be asked, like, fucking not interested, la la la. But hopefully, the LSC will be the first part of that, and I'll come back to the LSC. So basically, the points I'm raising with you are, one, Jason's aspirations for house ownership and blah, blah. Two,
yeah.
LSC structure and progressive movement forward. Three was Jason off radar, which we basically are now binning because it's just Jason and I'm the same, so it's fine, mm-hmm. no problem. Four is TPS. We'll come back to it. Yeah, and probably five is Tima stroke Garrett Davis.
So.
Etc. Right. Sorry, go on.
TPS. The main concern really is Yogesh using a friend, obviously, and we have no control of that system. So I can't get
font size up big enough to do what I need to do with it in terms of OCR.
Can I just tell you what he said to me?
Yeah. He's using it directly, I think, anyway.
He called me on Friday, right? And he said, "We're calling you, George. You know, I want to raise it with the other guys, but I wanted to raise it with you first, right? If you want my honest view, I think we're just back where we were 2 years ago, and yeah, we probably need to take the risk."
Yeah.
Now, I will not, because of my asset base. Like, but let's be honest, mate. If this company goes bust, right,
mm-hmm.
I've still got a good life, man. Like, I've got a nice house. I've got a good income. If I lose everything I have, yeah, then that's mental. If you were me, you wouldn't do it, right? But this is the same conversation 2 years ago. So I will never advocate it, support it, formally. In fact, you know what I will do? I will protect my back and send emails saying we must ensure this.
No. I know where you're going. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, back in the day, this is no different how it always was. Back in the day, there was you and Linton going, yeah, I'm happy to take the risk. Over time, Linton particularly has gone, hang on a second, I was naive as fuck and I don't want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're probably more willing to be in that position. But there are other people, you know, associates of mine, that would also be willing.
Yeah, we need somebody on our side to be able to have access to something where we have control of it.
No, but what I mean, back in the day, right, if Matt and Anthony and Randy hadn't fallen out,
yeah,
all they needed to do was Anthony just needed to say, yes, I did it on my own, and they had no knowledge of it. And we wouldn't have had to pay M&I £1 million, and he would have gone bankrupt for 20 grand.
Yeah.
That is all that needed to happen. The problem was, Rambier
pushed it too far.
Yeah. I mean, basically, he fucking, well, you know, and that's what I've really tried not to do with you.
This is where I think where we've had concerns a few weeks ago. We felt it was getting pushed too far. I mean, obviously things are slowly going back again.
Are you serious? Like, I never picked up on that.
Yeah.
I was just... I'm not, mate. I don't want it. I fucking... Look, Jace, all I've ever fucking wanted, mate, is to be mates and to work it out. I'm like, honestly... of course I'm hurt by things that have happened, right? But I do stand by who I am, and in time, as I said, I hope we last about in a bar in 10 years. And relationships take good relationships. I've said this to you, like, all my best friends are decades old, and there's a reason for that. Like, fucking, I could have fallen out with Adam Vogt over his wife, yeah? Because there was a situation that was uncomfortable between that situation about 15 years ago. There was also, you know, I could have fallen out with Adam and Jamie over the share deal on the Rand thing. But we didn't. We worked it out, and, you know, I did the right thing then, and I'm trying to do the right thing now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a cunt, mate. I'm not a fucking, I'm not Schneider. I am not Singh. Yeah. But, and all the shit with like direct ships and all this shit, I could have done it 2 years ago, mate, if you think about it. The only reason I did it is because I felt threatened. And if you actually think about the only times I've ever really reacted and taken massive fucking huge fucking challenges is when I felt backed into a corner. Same with Schneider. Same with Singh. Singh, pay me the 13 grand, keep all the fucking chairs, you prick. Wouldn't do it. So then I go to war. Schneider, I just want to work as a team, mate. I don't want to fight you, but you're dictating to me. And then he sends me an email going, you will do this, you will do that, you will do this. Well, no, I'm not. And you're saying the same things to me. And I won't be him, mate.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to do is put an LFC in to enable you guys to run the team. Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm talking to you now. And I have... Listen to some. I've had to hear a lot of very. You've said a lot of very painful things to me. You've laid a lot of shit at my door. You're a direct guy. You've got Asperger's or ADHD. I don't know what the fuck it is, but whatever. But you are like right. You're direct, right?
Yeah.
But also, don't forget, mate. Please don't forget. You know, like I give you the fucking keys to my house. You play with my dog. I open my entire life to you. Even now, I want to work with you. If you want a house, then let's try and find a way to get you a house. You know, like. I'm a good person, mate. I am, honestly, hand on heart. yes, I'm a stubborn motherfucking bastard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I only have done things ever when I've felt backed into a corner or threatened or whatever. Yeah. And same with Mahal. I'm not trying to fucking suck Mahal out of anything. I'm just trying to do what I think is fair and right. And also, if you want my honest view, I think it's fair and right that the pro rata thing exists and the shares are given to you and Linton, because that's the best thing for the company. And and I imagine he's going to say, no, I don't want to do that. And yet, in doing so, he's going to contradict himself, because he's going to say, as I'll say, isn't it, you've always been saying to me it's better that they have shares. But whatever, that will resolve itself. The point is, you know, we are a fucking team. Yeah, and we've had a really fucking rough run, and there may be many facets to that, but maybe, just maybe, yeah, there's a glimmer, like a light tunnel end, you know? So, on this call, so can I just cover off the LSD, because it'll be easy for me to do. I've spoken to Alex and Aubrey about it, and I know you've been busy with other stuff, so
yeah.
I don't think it's anything confidential. Basically, what the LSD agenda that I sent through was probably 50 to 70% of my to-do list. Yeah.
Yes.
And this morning, I laughed a little to myself because, you know, everyone came back going, well, that's way too much. Fucking hell, boom. Yeah. And I was
agree with them.
You know, and I agree with them. But I also kind of chuckled to myself going, George, why do you think you can't do it all?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just too much, mate. But this is my personality, right? I am comprehensive. So the advantage of me is I give loads of detail and content that other people can use. So, for example, over the last 2 years, I've spent every time I see a business that I think we could do business with, I've captured it, put it in a folder.
Yep.
Okay? At some point soon, I can give all of that to Alex Piper, and we can define a functional strategy and target strategy for business development. Yep.
Yep.
Similarly, every time I've seen something that I think is cool, whether it be perk box, share schemes, burn alert, people this, people that, the way to construct your fucking bonus scheme, blah, blah, I put it in a folder. Yeah?
Yeah.
That can be the HR people stream. Yeah? Similarly, anything technology-wise that I see our competitors doing or we're doing, Mango charts or fucking, you know, the app or whatever it is, bang, technology, IP, product development, put it in a folder. So now, but what I've got to do is share this stuff, and this is my biggest failing, is I haven't communicated or shared the work that I've been doing with people.
Mm-hmm.
But point is, there's an LSD. I don't know exactly how the LSD is going to work. I spoke to Aubrey at length about it in terms of, you know, politically I've got concerns, like, you know, there's basically five people on it. George covers legal finance, and if he doesn't attend, Albie can. Desk and product is Linton or Yogesh. COO is obviously Aubrey. And then business development is Alex Piper. And then chief technology officer is you. So what if you're on holiday? Who are you going to appoint? And that's why I did, I think I WhatsApp you going to say, like, because at the moment, right, who would you potentially be able to put in your place? Because I think, I don't know is the answer.
Yeah, I don't think Archie's quite in that position.
But also he's leaving. There's no point putting people that are leaving in that scene.
That's Henry you're thinking of.
No,
you're thinking of Henry and Evie, basically.
You just said Evie, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I said Archie, because I knew that. Anyway, I don't know. I'm quite happy for somebody desk related to go in my
Yogesh. So you could put Yogesh in for you.
Yeah. I don't mind if someone like Yogesh does that to some degree. He's going
to
be fair.
But the problem that I had when I was chatting to Aubrey, mate, is the biggest problem was you could almost like have 400 people attending this meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so at the moment we're basically saying Linton desk, Aubrey COO, me legals and finance, you CTO, Piper, chief director. And by the way, I hear Piper's like literally fucking nailing it. Like, as in, he's come back, he's been really positive, he's driving shit forward, blah, blah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you end up with those five people, right? Now, in reality, like, let's take Piper. Who would feed into Piper? You would have like Stuart, potentially. You'd have like Alec. You'd have like James Vose is potentially going to come and help do some sales. You've got maybe Gustav. You've got maybe Aiden. You've got maybe a replacement for Laura on the new EAPA salesperson. Blah, blah. So he's got to aggregate all those things. And now you could say, and I would say, right now, I think Alex would be a massive consultant to that group to add value.
Yeah, Alex can go in my absence as well.
No, but it's not about you and your absence. What I'm trying to work out is, how do we not end up with a team of 500 people? And there's politics here, right? So, for example, why is Adam Vose and Mehul not in that group?
Mm-hmm. I think Mehul feels he needs some representation. Otherwise, you're going to run into loggerheads with him further down the road. He wants to contribute, I think, to a certain degree, and I think some of his frustration is that, you know, he can't contribute and he can't have his shares, what's the point, kind of thing. That's his sort of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So
he can have his shares, mate, but I just want him to be a fair shareholder.
Yeah.
Mate, don't go, because this is just come back to, whether if Mehul has his shares at X or Y, makes 52% to 55% difference to me. Like, it's nothing. It doesn't matter to me, really. Yeah? The only reason it matters is because of what it enables company to give you and Lynch and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to, and I'm sure you're going like, fuck, I'm in a bit of a rock and a hard place now.
Yeah.
Because I want my shares, but... And that's why I'm just not willing to make the decisions on my own. The reality is, I will this week put forward a proposal for the shareholdings. And I think the shareholders should make the decision. And maybe it's done on the basis of each shareholder has a vote, yeah? Or each shareholder or potential shareholder, such as yourself, has a vote.
Yeah.
And it's not done by equity holding, it's done by one vote per shareholder.
Yeah.
I don't know, I haven't quite worked it out. But I'm only trying to do, mate, what I think is fair and is best for the company.
Yeah.
You know, but I have. But on the flip side, you can lay at my door. I'm not going to go below 50%. But, you know, in that 50% that I own, mate, I've got Jace, I've got Adam Vose, Jamie Vose, my mum, my sister, my brother-in-law, and some dude in Australia. So I already, and you can say, well, you know, they all side with you. Well, you sided with me. Wholeheartedly, unreservedly, until probably 2 months ago. So, you know, things can change. You know, I can't just give it up, but I am honestly dedicated to empowering a fucking management team to run the business, mate. Because I'll be honest with you, I cannot do it on my own, and I need the fucking help. So our objectives are the same.
Yeah.
So
shareholding is something in my mind that I just see as a medium-term thing, because I think there is a lot of facets to resolve in terms of the Mehul thing before we
but you want shareholding voting. Like, if I offer, because the easiest solution for me, mate, right, is Mehul, you want 37%, right, you have 33%, my family and the six people within it have 66%. We will pay a certain amount of money, whatever that number is, to buy Matthew and Anthony out, yeah? And they will become non-shareholding. I don't want them to leave the business. I want them to get a dividend, so they become non-voting rights. Now, the only people that make decisions are my family and Mehul. That is my perfect... For me personally, that's my perfect scenario. Everybody else that gets shared, Jason, Linton, Aubrey, whatever the quantum that seems fair... which will work out. I do agree that you are worth more than Linton, blah, blah. Not worth more, but, like, you deserve more. You're taking a lower salary. You've been in the business longer, blah, blah, blah. Yeah? And we put a formula in place that says, basically, years worked times, you know, salary undercutting times, blah, 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 right? Shareholding is it. And you all get your shares. And those shares are pari-passy.
to
blah, blah. But they're non-voting, but you still get the dividend, right? So you get exactly the same dividends as I get or whatever, right? That is my perfect Nirvana solution. The reason that doesn't work, as I understand it, is because you want voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'd be keen to have them. I think it would be madness not to have voting shares if I've been there pretty much from dot.
So I can ignore you and implement the solution I just talked about, or mm-hmm. I can do what I'm trying to do, go through much more pain, try and get you those shares.
Mm-hmm.
And which do you want me to do, mate?
No, I'd like to go down the route of trying to get voting shares. I think it would be good for the long term. I don't think it makes much difference in the short, medium term, to be frank. And in a way,
But do you think I'm reneging? Okay, firstly, mm-hmm. surely you owe me a thank you to get Matthew and Anthony to renege to give their shares to
voting. Isn't that a
demonstration at least that I'm trying to do what you're asking me to do?
Yeah, okay. I think that's...
And if I don't give you voting shares, all I really care about, mate, is that you think I've done the right thing.
Yeah.
Right? So if I don't give you voting shares, so I've told you, simplest for me, 33% male, 66% my family, and the six people, so 11% each, if you like. Mm-hmm. And then I give everyone else non-voting shares. That is literally the simplest solution for me. The problem is, if you think that I'm reneging on my promise to you,
mm-hmm.
or and it does nothing, like legally, mate, I'll be honest with you, I almost can't be touched, yeah,
mm-hmm.
legally, right? But that isn't what I want to do, mate. What I want is actually to be seen, despite all of the fucking difficulties we've had, to do the right motherfucking thing.
Yeah.
And therefore, if you think by me not giving you voting shares I've fucked you, then that
mm-hmm.
is not a solution that I am happy with.
No, I think for the long term, it should really be voting shares. I mean, in the short term, whilst Matt and Ant have their shareholding, and, you know, I don't have a problem with the votes being with them, you know, as it stands.
In reality, what's Matt going to vote? He's going to vote whatever I want him to vote. Why? Not because he believes in me over you.
No,
because he's got massive motherfucking debt to the company.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a fucking idiot, mate. I'm not trying to leverage my power to do things, mate. What I'm trying to do is find a solution that is the right ethical, moral fucking thing to do. And that's basically...
Matt will vote what he feels is the right thing to do. I mean, to a certain degree, yes, he will do what you want because of the debt. But there comes a line where he thinks, well, okay... Actually, the interest of the company is more important than my own debt or whatever is between you and him, basically. So, you know... But that's
almost a moot point, mate, because
I don't
want to fuck anybody, mate. All I'm trying to do is find a fair, equitable outcome. That is honestly all I am trying to fucking do. And I think it's more important that you and the internet have shares because you're today involved in the company.
Yeah.
Matt has said to me, I'm not coming back to Woodrow.
I'm
not coming back. But to have Matt, in the same way that I used to get for a decade, a cheque, 20 grand a year, 15 grand a year, 10 grand a year, 30 grand a year, whatever it is, you know, it's enough that Matt and Anthony will help us grow the business.
Yeah. I think there is a real concern that, in my opinion... Like, I don't mind you having 52% from a dividend point of view too much. But I think there is a perspective that there needs to be some representation of people who are actually involved in the company, whether it's me, whether it's Linton, whether it's Alec, and potentially all, and Yogesh in time. They need to be represented at the top. We don't have to be all individuals, to be honest. The other way around it is we could form a... some sort of voting, I don't know whether it's feasible or not, I'm speaking and thinking aloud, but maybe we form a sort of block, if you like, and then we actually have, rather than votes each...
Sorry to interrupt you, just one sec. Hello? Hang on, Mum, I'll take care of this, thanks. Hello? How can I help? Okay, can you, where are you calling from? Technical helpline for Windows operating system. Sorry, you're calling me the technical helpline for Windows operating systems, yes? And what's your name of your company? Hello? Sorry, can you hear me? Yeah, okay. No, we're not interested in any support. No, thanks. We're reporting to you to the Ofcom. Thanks for your help. Cheers, bye.
The old Microsoft tech support.
Sorry, mate, go on.
The old Microsoft tech support at it again. They're notorious, aren't they?
Just bear with me once.
When they're in India.
Fucking ring my mother, motherfuckers. Just one second, Jason. All right, sorry. Jay?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I thought you were still.
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
So, my stance with shares is maybe we can be, you know, we don't necessarily all need to have individual votes. We could form a block, but we need to, I almost feel that it would be better to have, and it's not going to necessarily work out this way, but because it won't work out this way. But if it goes nearer sort of, you know, a third you, a third in the whole, or maybe 25%, nearer to 25%-ish you, those, Mahor, and then us, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can't have it 50-50 or whatever, but we get something nearer. What I have a bit of a concern
mate, can we just stop this conversation on this?
Yeah.
Like, there's no point having it, and I don't say this with any anger, right?
No.
Look, you know, I have lost two relationships. I've just been talking to you on a personal level about how all my friends are married with kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how fucking depressing that is. You've talked to me about a house that you want and blah, blah, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to help you with the house shit, right?
Yeah.
I'm never going to give up over 50%, mate, ever. I'm never going to happen. It's not going to happen. I don't mean to sound like a dictatorial, but I'm trying to empower and enable you all and Linton, you and our team. And you will. I'm trying to get you shares. And as a big bunch of fucking shareholders, you have a myriad of fucking rights under that shareholding, whether it's with Mehul or without, okay? And you can challenge and you can ask for transparency and you can ask for accounts and you can ask for an audit and you can ask for all these things, okay? I'm trying to give you that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that it gives you that power, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go below 50%, mate. It's cost me too much. And if you look in my mother's eyes every fucking day, mate, and see the worry on her face, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and you hear the conversations that Adam and I have had about.
Yeah,
he's like, mate, I really, please, can we just get out of this? I don't care. Even if I don't care if it gets bust, mate, I just don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only in it because he's loyal to me. Yeah.
Yes.
It's just and also, as I've said to you, there's already six people in that shareholding. Now.
Yeah.
I can give all those people individual shares,
mm-hmm.
but to the day I die, do you think they're ever going to fucking not come with me?
No, but I think...
But I'm not trying to use my power, mate. I'm not trying to use my power to dictate, because that is not what I want to do. What I want to do is work with you and Linton and everybody else to do a team. And you have your rights, and you will have huge rights to the shareholders, and it will be a material amount of shareholding, that you have significant rights, okay? But, you can't...
I'm not saying you have to go below 50% or whatever, but what needs to... I just feel that there needs to be some representation by, doesn't have to be necessarily me or Lynch or individually, but there needs to be representation by people who are boots on the ground in the company, I think.
And that's what I'm trying to do. That's what he's wanting.
It doesn't need to be all so like, individually. Is
wait, how many representatives on the LSC are me?
No, I think it's just you.
How many?
Out of what, five people, isn't there?
Isn't that an indication of what I'm trying to do?
Yeah, yeah. And so, be honest with me. Yeah.
When you've worked with me and reached out to my heart and my good faith,
yeah,
you've probably achieved far more, mate, than when you fought me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to fight you, fucking Jason. I don't want to fight
anyone.
I actually want you to make a load of fucking money, is what I want. I want Linton to make a load of money.
We do need to shout and scream because it does. While it doesn't help you.
Oh well, I think
you've
I think you've definitely failed at screaming.
I think it does.
I mean, I think I've completely missed the point you're trying to make month or two.
Look, I know.
And what have I done? I haven't thrown my toys out the pram, have I? And sold the fucking business?
No.
Have I done that? What have I done? I've tried to fucking speak to you, and I speak to Linton and say thank you today for the good things. Yeah. I am a good motherfucking person. I am a good person, Jason, and I will not fuck you. I will not fuck anybody else. I'm trying to do what we believe in doing, and you have misjudged me.
Yeah.
Honestly. And you must see that I'm trying to do that, mate.
Yeah. Well,
finish your sentence anyway. I'll shut up. Finish your sentence.
As I said, my concern is that there needs to be people who are running the company who are able to have a say. That's all it really boils down to.
And
like
bottom
I said,
line,
I don't,
up and the main forum going forward is an LSC to run the company on a day-to-day basis, right? And that is composed of you, Linton, Aubrey, Alex, myself.
I think that works.
Jason, as a mate, Jason.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best, mate. Honestly, I'm trying. And there's been times, I'll be honest with you, I literally have wanted to go to war with all of you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't because, like, it sounds really patronising. I actually think I actually think maybe in some ways you just don't get me. You don't get what drives me. And if you look in your heart, I think you really do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mate, I fucking stood up against fucking Sting, Matt, Schneider, yeah? I had 12%. I told Ranbir, said, keep your fucking shares, yeah? And this came off the back of, actually, I'd already supported him, yeah, because he was an old school friend. I said, keep your fucking shares. I want my 13 grand.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was 3.5 million there, did I? I didn't know any of it. I just said, I'm going to fucking go to war.
Mm-hmm.
Because you ripped my mum off for 13 grand. And I'm not going to go, ooh, my mum. But the reality is, you know, I did give all, okay, I'll give you an example. Right now, my mum wants 700 quid a month off me.
Mm-hmm.
There's people outside now, you can probably hear it, the tree surgeons, £1,000 to cut trees down at my house. Mum's house.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying for it? My sister?
No. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, my mum's money, like, I, you know, mum's a fucking pensioner, mate. She gets, in fact, I'll read you the exact fucking number because it's right here next to me. 1 second. Pension service. 29th of May, 2018. Amount you will receive each month is £172.97.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take care of my mum. If that 13 grand had come through, do you want the honest truth? Mm-hmm. What would have happened with it is my mum would have said, well, you know, that's all yours, George, if you want it. Because she just would give me anything she had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what would I have done with it? I would have given it all to her. I've
mm-hmm.
told you, I bought two things, mate. Car for my mum, car for my sister. They're the only two things I've bought in the last 36 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my decisions are always based on principle. and okay, with regards to this business, more than anything, more than they have ever been.
Well, in my the share thing, I think will sort itself out in time, and I think look, it's not going to sort.
But do you not think that it's, do you not? Can I just?
It sounds like it's going in the right direction.
But holistically, can I just ask you, like, how? And I've asked you this before, but I'm asking it again. I mean, how? Because I've told you my Nirvana outcome, Mehul, circa 33, my family 66, everyone else non-voting rights. How do you feel about that?
No, I don't think it works for the business.
Well, it does work for the business because it makes a very clear decision making at the top of the shop.
Yeah,
I trust me to empower, which is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to learn from the things that people have laid at my door. So I think it does work for the business, but it's not just about working for the business. It's about the fact that I'm not going to renege on my fucking word.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you and Linton and everybody else thinks I will or have, that's fine. But I ain't going to do it. And if you think you deserve voting rights, then I have to fight to get you voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a ball ache for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see that, right?
Like, yeah.
It's a ball ache for me. Yeah? So what do you want me to do?
No, I think the voting rights thing is the long-term right thing. And like I said, this is... And the other side of it is, from my point of view, is that, you know, the shares is really something when the dividends start to come. And, you know, that's going to be a little while, which is why
It's not just dividends, though, mate. It's also, like, you know... Listen, we could all make nothing. I could make nothing. Yeah, you could make nothing, blah, blah. But we could end up making a big chunk. Like, if we get this right and start to look at... I'm not saying Teamer is a good idea. It is a good or bad idea. But, like, say with Teamer, we brunch up with them. Suddenly now we're earning $4 million a year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was just... I'm getting old, so I listen to Radio 4 a lot these days. And, you know, I was listening to a girl, she basically, I can't remember her name, but she was like a dropout of school, failed with this and that, blah, blah. Anyway, she came up with like a fashion design, well, I can't remember the name of it. But, you know, she was saying, oh, I had one shop and we were making like $100,000 a year. Her company now turns over $50 million, right? Now, that's in the course of 10 years, maybe. I don't know, like, say you're 33. I'm 42, right? I can fucking tell you, mate, if I was 42, if you're 42 and you own whatever the number is, 5%, 10% of a sellout for 50 million quid, you're done.
Yeah.
So it's not just about a dividend payment, mate, and this is what we've got to get away from. It's about creating a business that we can either sell or that we all make good money from it.
Yeah.
And I am... very hurt, and I've found a lot of the stuff laid at my door really hard to swallow. But see, I've always gotten out, right? I've always gotten out because we have a revenue stream of 2 million quid, 2.5 million quid, or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody wants that, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if you leave, if Linton leaves, everyone left, went, we all fucking hate George, and we're not going to turn up tomorrow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all I have to do is go and put on a fucking auction site. I'll put it on eBay. £2.5 million fucking revenue stream for Squawk Services. What do you think Benzinga, Trade the News, fucking ITC, fucking Live Squawk, fucking Schneider and his fucking coffee?
Yeah.
You know, but I don't want to do it, mate. Do you forget? I didn't sell out. I didn't sell out because I fucking thought it was the wrong thing to do. And I'm not become a different motherfucking person, mate. I want you to have what is... I think, and you think, and we agree, as decent fucking people, is a fair outcome. And that remains exactly where I've always been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I probably have not demonstrated that well enough or communicated my progress and shit well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying.
Yeah, I think the worry for me is that, you know, when the company got messy... 2-3 weeks ago, I just thought, you know, you look at the shares thing and you think, well, what's it worth kind of thing. You do start to ask questions. If things are getting back on the plus, then obviously...
So let me give you an example, right? Let's say that we can't resolve everything, right? than I do a joint venture with any of the people I've just mentioned. Yeah, and there's probably half a dozen around the globe. And that's not to mention Reuters, Bloomberg, blah, blah. You think they're going to turn their nose up at those Squawk customers? No, they're not. Let's say that that happens, right? Let's say you own no shares, then you get nothing. Let's say we do a joint venture with any of those people. So now they provide the service. Now I don't need a Squawk company. Now I don't need a desk. I don't have to manage LinkedIn anymore. I don't have to worry about all that shit. Yeah, and I could have done all of this already, mate, and I have not, because I fucking believe in my fucking word, mate. That's basically it, right? We do half and half. Basically, I go to, say, let's say it's Trader News. Right, here's all our Squawk companies. You already turn out a Squawk. Provide that Squawk to our service, yeah?
Yeah.
You can't do shit, because if you destroy the IT that exists, then it's criminal prosecution for you, because it's basically... Mm-hmm. I would never do this to you, Jason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you harmed my family, I would never, ever want any pain for you. You know that, right? You need to understand that. Like, I never, okay? But say we did a joint venture with CTN. So CTN now provide all our school services. I say to them, look, I've had enough. I can't be arsed with it. My teams have come. They'll fucking hate me, blah, blah. And they go, what? So we basically turn out what we turn out today, and you give us half of what your revenue stream is, and you get half. Yes. I don't understand. That means we make £1 million tomorrow more than we made today. It's all profit.
Mm-hmm.
And you just gave us that. Yes. Okay, where do I start?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they would say, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're a shareholder, and let's say... Linton and Yogesh and everyone left, yeah?
Yeah.
And we did that. You and me chatting. Me, you, Nathal, everyone chatting. Yeah. You go in 10%, not 5%, 10%, 12%, 100%, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get, for the rest of your life, or for as long as that revenue stream continues, and by the way, obviously the contract would say, if TTN currently make $1 million from their score, and we give them another $2 million, yeah, we've increase their company revenue by 300%. So if they then grow that revenue stream from 3 million to 6 million, we, of course, will be beneficial from the increase.
Yeah.
So now we've got 50% of something being churned out by an outsourced service. Yeah? We don't have to get out of bed. We don't have to argue about fucking LSTs or personalities or whatever. You just get your 10% of 10% of $1 million first year. It's $100,000 you get, and the following year, if they double it, or in 5 years, if they double it, you now get 10% of $200,000.
Yeah.
So don't underestimate the value of shareholding, whether it's voting or non-voting.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think you know as well as I do, but it'd be a lot nicer to have, like, if I was a person that was motivated by the money. Because when you and I argue, and I say, well, fuck off, go get a job, yeah? You know I mean it. And actually, if I was a sensible businessman...
You wouldn't, yeah.
That is a fucking dumbass move.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just create a massive headache for myself. But
yeah,
I'm too stubborn. But on the flip side, I don't want to fucking leverage advantage by doing wrong by people, mate. I would not. Let me be very, very clear. The company that we, and you will have shares in it, the company would not exist if it was not for me primarily. We would not be involved in it. You would have left and probably got another job, blah, blah. So number one, I challenged everybody. I fought from a difficult position. Blah, blah. I categorically believe that. Second, we would not, any of us, including me, have a company if Adam Bose had not stood up for Matt. Because I would have been sacked off the board and Schneider would own it. Yes? Thirdly, we would not have a company if it was not for you, for Linton, and to a sort of slightly secondary degree, Aubrey.
Yeah, yeah, no,
because because I could not move that company and set it up again in another place without you and without Linton.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody deserves their day. Everyone deserves to be thanked and rewarded. And that is what I'm trying to do, mate. Honestly, like, I'm not fucking trying to fuck anybody out, anything. I'm not trying to do anything wrong. I'm actually just completely motivated by trying to do the right fucking thing.
Honestly.
So that's the shareholding, and as you say, it will evolve in time.
Okay.
I promise.
Oh, yeah.
If I'd wanted to fuck it over or change shit or whatever, and I'm sorry about directorships and shareholdings, and there may be more changes in that regard, but I'm only just doing what I believe to be right, and I have no interest, mate, in ever, on my mother's fucking life, my father's grave and life, and fucking times of my niece and nephew and my sister, fucking you or Linton or Mehul or anybody. This has been more, like, this is about more for me than that. And somehow that's been lost. And I'm trying very hard to suck up a shitload of fucking pride to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? End of that conversation, unless you have anything else you want to add.
No. That's enough, I think. It will resolve itself in time. As long as it looks like it's going in the right direction, then...
Can I now address the LSD, please?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I sent out the agenda. Everyone was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
The agenda is effectively about 50-70% of what my to-do list looks like.
Yeah.
And this is what I think people don't realise. I'm not sitting in Staffordshire just wanking off every day. You know, I am working my nuts off all the time. Legals, finance, this, that, blah, blah. If I walked away tomorrow, honestly, not arrogantly, you are fucked. Not fucked, mm-hmm. but you are going to have to start doing 150 hours a week, all of you. And Aubrey ain't going to do it. Yeah? Bottom line is, you've all made you very clearly a voice. Please let us be more involved in the running of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I'm going to try and do that. So we now have an LSD that we're proposing. The agenda is obviously, and this is why I think, you know, this is the benefits of a team. An asset of mine is I provide huge content. I cover every single base. I am comprehensive. I see every single angle. That's why I'm frustrated, by the way, on the live school shares thing.
I think, but with the LSC, we just need to break it down over and maybe not cover everything today.
Here's what I've agreed with Aubrey and Alex, provisionally, agreement in principle, and I'm now sharing with you. Basically, we push, there's going to be a probably some forum above the LSC, which will be shareholders or whatever, or board or whatever it is. I don't want to define it today because there's too many sensitivities and politics at hand.
But
ultimately, there'll be something. It's not appropriate for the LSC to determine senior remunerations and shareholding, as an example. I agree with that. So at the moment, we're basically going to take that agenda. Everybody should add to it, saying, George, you missed this or you missed that. Yeah. So, for example, I don't know all the things that are happening in business development. I don't know all the things that are happening in IT particularly. I've had a stab at what I think they are. If there's anything on that agenda you think is critical that I've missed, please add it. And over the course of the next 7 days, all those things get added. And basically then we take that full agenda and we allocate it across 3 points. One, stuff that needs to go to a higher level, boards, shareholders, whatever, to be defined.
Yeah.
And I have purposefully not defined that today because the whole conversation we just had, I don't want it to detract from what is the immediate priority, which is to create a management team that runs that business effectively.
Yeah, agreed.
So those go up to the higher level. That's number one. Number two, we look at the shit that should be prioritised and put on the LSC meeting to meet once a week to drive forward. Those are the priority matters. It should be an hour's call every Tuesday afternoon, subject to availability. It's for Aubrey to amend that as he wishes. You and I dial in or attend if we get, if we're there.
Yeah.
But, and then thirdly, the detailed stuff, which is the, yes, it'd be fucking awesome to do this, but this isn't immediately the priority for the business. The way I see it is the LSC is normally in a company it would be operational, but I don't think it is operational. I think the LSC sits somewhere between operational and strategic. So there are probably more strategic things involved in the LSC than there would be normally, but that's because we're a small company, and the people at the LSC are also potentially shareholders and directors of the company. Not minutiae, because it should not be written off at, so let's take, for example, WebRTC. WebRTC should not be removed from the, it may be listed on the LSC agenda, or it may not, but what it must be, point three, is those types of points included in the strategy per function for the business. Each function of the business, whether that's legal, finance, me, Albie, whether that's CTO, tech, technology development, product, you, whether that's desk, Linton, Yogesh, whether that's business development, Alex Piper, those things sit in the strategy, that each function under those five people has a strategy. And those strategies are a view for the next year. And the LSC addresses the stuff that's prevalent maybe in the next month to 3 months.
Yeah.
And all of that gets aggregated into an overarching strategy for the business, which creates World Squawk going forward strategy. These are the things on our radar, short term, medium term. This is our financial position. And we use that to basically provide communications to the entire team and direction, but also if we want to go to a VC or a bank or anything, we can use the same, almost exactly the same fucking PowerPoint pack to do so.
Yeah.
And that is basically where we ended up, and that is what I've been trying to work on for a long period of time, and Aubrey and Alex seem to be on the same page. I'm asking if you are.
Yeah. No, it's a fairly simple no-brainer.
So that's the LSD off list, right?
Yeah.
So that was not point two. Point one was Jason aspirations. Property.
So my issues are fairly straightforward. As I said, my rent at the moment is close to £1,000 in Newcastle. I need to start paying Alice some money. Obviously, if I'm not paying you, then I'm paying Alice going forward. So that needs to be sorted. I also then, on top of it, that I'm not saving any money. A fair bit of money from the bonus has paid off credit card debt. I seem to be accumulating credit card debt like there's no tomorrow at the moment.
Why?
Clearly, three, 4 years. Well, obviously, 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I was doing work on the side, and whatever I was doing, I obviously had more time then, and I obviously had more money, and I'm guessing I probably had probably another 8 or 10 grand come in a year, based on the fact that I never was eating into my credit cards like I am now.
A couple of points. Can you not become Alec? Sorry. It's not the responsibility of the business to manage your finances, right?
No, it isn't.
No, hear me out, mate. That, I don't mean that's an aggressive statement. I don't mean it to be. All I'm saying is, you know, you're an adult, mate. You've got to try and look. And sometimes I fucking hate being that old, just so you know. Hear me out.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you owe me a year's rent, £600 a month, right?
Yeah.
£7,200.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
Yeah.
By the way, you can record what you want. I'm not recording shit, just so you know. And I ain't going to fucking chase you. But the point is, like, you know, maybe, and I'm speaking to you freely. I'm not speaking to you with any commitment to do what I'm saying, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe I say, well, okay, fine, don't pay the rent. The company can pay the rent for you. You can take that as an increase in salary from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
That would help you, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So examples like that, we can do things like that, maybe,
yeah.
If it's fair and it seems right. And like, I'm not going to do stuff that's, like, wrong, but you have taken a lower salary for a period of time, and I get all of that. So I don't think it's hard for me to justify that.
Yeah.
I will, although everybody's saying all power, you know, like George can't have any power or whatever, I will have power. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the way it's going to be. I'm sorry. But I want other people to have power too. But, you know, we can, if we feel it right, and I don't know the answer to this, I'm talking aloud. If we think it's right, then I will raise it at the LSC and say, look, this situation with Jason's rent, this situation with Jason's salary, I think it's fair that the company pays his rent and that, you know, he gets that as additional salary. He's taken the share thing's taken too long to come through. You know, he didn't take his bonus. He's obviously shown commitment and integrity to the company. I would like to propose this. Yeah?
Yeah.
And they can then vote. And if they say no, well, that's the sort of situation where I probably do have an issue, because I personally morally think you deserve that. And if people say no, I just can't see them saying no, is my honest answer. Why? How can
they? Yeah. Well, okay. It's something that needs to be thought about. I agree in that respect. And to be honest, I think that made me a little bit bitter about it. It's not so much that the money gets paid to you, it's that when we fall out, after saying for ages and ages, turning a blind eye, it's like, right, you owe me this money, literally as soon as I take my bonus, and it's kind of literally...
Because we've fallen out.
Yeah, yeah, and because you fell out, but that leaves a bitter taste. Anyway, that aside...
But think about it, like, mate, if we fall out, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, obviously...
Do I want to give you the benefits of my friendship anymore?
No, obviously. So that's why I have a bit of a bitterness with that.
But hopefully what I've literally just said in the last paragraph illustrates how I'm trying to get back on board of being friends, right?
So my long and short of it is, okay, you know, my personal finances is my personal finances. The reality of the situation is, if I look back at, and while it is a personal matter, I think the business does come into play, because if I look at my situation 3-4 years ago, I was probably earning another 10 grand a year on the side, doing odds and sods, et cetera, et cetera. Clearly, I was earning something on that line, because I wasn't going into my credit card like I was in the last sort of year or so. And, you know, even if I look at back at the situation when I was on pay-as-you-earn, although I hadn't materially changed as far as the company's concerned, it did say on my contract, you know, I do 3 out of 5 days a week, I get 30k, so I was effectively on 50k.
Jason, I actually don't know the details. So what's your current situation with the company?
So obviously I'm getting 2 grand a month. I've taken on increased responsibility. I'm working pretty much full time. I've not done anything in terms of, virtually nothing on the side in terms of extra work.
So basically, listen, mate. Bottom line is, we need you full time. Unless you are going to be a cunt again, and then we have to fall out, and then you can go on the dole, as far as I'm concerned. Not really, just joking. But basically, you were earning 20. So, in the Ranveer world, what were you getting paid?
So, I was on my 2 grand a month, but I was earning money on the side. So, you know, obviously. I don't know how much on the side. I never really quantified it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was nearer.
You said 10k.
Yeah, 10k extra a year or whatever. Just looking at the fact that I'm racking up credit card debt and I'm struggling to pay. But my overheads have increased as well, because I'm now paying rent for most of this house, as opposed to having a house share with friends who are reliable. I'm having to get people in and out all the time. So it's increased stress,
work. Buddy, just to say, you know, I relate to your situation in terms of your mates are buying houses, you want to.
Yeah.
In the way that I say to you, I relate because my friends have all got families and kids, and I'm literally working out my old bedroom that I lived in when I was 12.
Yeah.
Yeah? So understand that I relate to that first point.
Yeah.
The second point that you raise is you... I'll pay more rent, blah, blah. I relate to that point too, because I had not rented out my house except to company people for last November. I used to rent all my fucking rooms. I spent 100-odd grand on building up the fucking loft, la, 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 la. Yeah?
Yeah.
Cost me, you know, I've had no return on that investment. I'm not a fucking billionaire, mate. I've got a few quid. Yeah, I've told you this before. Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm all right. I'm fine. Whatever. But, you know... Anybody, if they didn't have to rent out rooms, well, actually, that's not true. When Nikki left and Kerry left, I couldn't bear it. But that's a personal thing. Like, I couldn't bear to be on my own. I hated it, mate. I literally hated it. That's but part of the reason I'm here. And I know you've got, George, come back. Why are you not come back? Blah, blah. And you're a bit bitter. Like, why haven't I come back and done the whole fucking once more into the reach? I will come back, mate, but... I'm fucking telling you, buddy, as a mate, it's fucking 3 years, 100 hours a week, fucking the pressure, the stress, everything.
Yep.
And, mate, I've, you know, fucking used every fucking thing under the sun, and I've pushed myself further than I really had to give. And I've lost two relationships, and it's hurt me. And I need to be at home, mate, because if I just to be able to provide the value that I can today.
Yep.
What I'm trying to do, and this is alongside and parallel to, like, putting the LSC in, empowering other people, blah, blah, is to give my chance, self-chance, to fucking, instead of fucking, like, taking Ritalin to stay awake and work harder, is to give myself the chance to fucking start running again and go to the gym and build my resilience and power that way. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then I will come back, mate. And I'll come back maybe whatever day, one day, 5 days, whatever it takes, right?
Yeah.
But, I'm not lying to you. You know, like, I yeah, it's fucking hurt me, mate. I've literally given everything I fucking have, mate, this fucking fight. And that's why, you know, all the moralistic shit I talk about, I do really believe in. And, you know, whatever. And I will come back, but I do need a bit of time to heal. And I don't want you to think that I'm letting you down because I don't come back. In reality, mate, I don't come back because I need to be here at the moment to function.
Yeah.
And I need a bit of, and once the LSC's in place, which I can't fucking wait for, I get a time to go and fucking heal.
Yeah.
And stop using stimulants to fucking keep me awake. And I need to start going for a run. And
eating properly.
Do you not?
Although your mum hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. And eating properly and sleeping properly. And, you know? And, like, I tell you, like, this, what I'm telling you now is not, you know, it's not a professional conversation per se, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is a honest friend conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other day I saw an advert on the TV for Lloyd's Mount. And it was basically, it was in, the whole advert was about mental health. And I was like, fucking hell. Lloyd's Bank doing an advert on mental health. If you read into the history of Lloyd's Bank, right, and you look at the guy that runs Lloyd's Bank, he's a guy, a Greek guy.
Don't tell me we're going back to Lloyd's Bank.
No, no, but that guy, basically, when he took over the job, he had to go off on leave for like 3 months, right?
Yeah.
And he couldn't sleep, he was scared, blah, blah. And when he took over at Lloyd's Bank, it was literally fucked. Yeah?
Yeah.
And now he's back, and now he's fucking kicking ass, and he's like, they have an amazing strategy. Their strategy is all about, we'll be a very, very clean cut, honest business. We've repaid fucking billions in PPI, la la la, right? And, you know, and that's the thing. So all I'm doing is saying, look, I'm doing all I can. I'm going to empower the fucking team. Need a bit of time to. I haven't had a fucking holiday, mate, for 3 fucking years, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, and I'm not asking for violins, I'm not asking for anything, but I'm telling you, I am actually a human being, and there are limitations to what humans can do.
Yeah.
And I have pushed myself more than I had to give.
Yeah.
And part of it is my fault, because I should have delegated more.
Mm-hmm. No, agreed. So my business property thing is simple. I can't stay in this place for too long. The only reason I'm still here is because the landlord has kept the price up on the basis that obviously I'm still here, so she still gets an income from the place. But obviously if I'm not getting housemates in to cover my side of things, part of me wants to get out of here sooner or later because my overheads have massively increased now. My rental liability is well over double from, you know, a couple of years ago.
So case in point, if you look at my situation now, I've got a room full of fucking crap. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, effectively, you know, back in the day, I had 750 coming in from the front, 850, sorry, coming in from the front room. I had 700 coming in from the middle room, 500 from the little room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know what that was. So nearly $2,000, right?
Yeah.
And because I was kind of fucking broken, mate. There's no other word to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck it, I'm going home. I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
So I get it completely. So I get the situation we've
got. You've got more of a cash flow to fall back on, whereas I don't. And that's where it's hitting a nerve with me.
And by the way, that point, just sorry to interrupt you, but that point is something I have tried to remind myself of.
Yeah.
Because, do you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, I don't have a rainy day.
I do have that. And when I say to you, Yeah. Fuck off, then. Mm-hmm. Go get another job. Mm-hmm. Do what you want. I realise, and maybe after the conversation, but I realise that you don't have what I have.
Yes.
But please understand, Jace, mm-hmm. the reason I have what I have is because I created it.
Yeah.
Like, I have worked my fucking nuts off all my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have a lovely house in Staffordshire, right? But the reason we still have it is because when I left uni in 1998, I spent 2 years helping my mum and dad set up a bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
My parents moved from the bedroom upstairs into the dining room.
Yeah.
And they managed to hang on to their house. And I sit here now at the top of this house. And every day I'm motherfucking grateful because my dad bought it and my parents created a home.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have a mortgage on this house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mum wouldn't still keep this house unless I was like, that's why I have to pay for fucking tree felling and shit.
Mm-hmm.
but what I get is, and you know, and what I've, and but on the flip side, what I'm trying to say to you is, you don't have what I have, right?
Yeah.
If you're in trouble financially, who's going to mm-hmm. help you?
Yeah, yeah. No,
I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a general question.
Yeah,
your mum can't, can she?
No.
Okay. I could lose my house in London. I could mm-hmm. lose this business. I'm still going to be okay. And the reason I'm going to be okay is because my family will look after me, and they aren't rich. But moreover, because Adam Vose will make sure that I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I've told you, mate, don't lose my friendship, because that is what I always will give you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a text today from Mr. Williams, who's one of the new owners of Directors Blah Blah, right?
Yeah.
He has a kid. He wants to do something for her 18th birthday, whatever. Can I help him? Yeah. So, without a fucking shout. So, basically, he got divorced 2 years ago, went through hell, massive depression, la la la.
Yeah.
We've given him a fucking house to live in.
Mm-hmm.
We've given him work. We've completely lost out, mate. Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, we've completely lost out. But who's the guy at 1 a.m, he'll take a fucking call and take a document down to Mehul for the live sports signing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy that will, if go into fucking WeWork and cut all the fucking cables if you walk up there? No, but I mean, I'm serious. Like, you know, this is the thing. And these are not 2 year relationships. These are decades of relationships. And that's what I'm trying to say to you. And like I feel you don't have that in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, mate, I can't be that friend to you. And I'm not trying to pitch it, because I'll do the right thing anyway, right?
Yeah.
But I also do accept that sometimes maybe I, you know, if I say to you, oh, fuck it, you're gone, blah, blah. You've got to understand I'm a good person.
Yeah.
And if I'm not a good person, Adam Vose is 15 times the man I am. And all you've got to do is pick up the phone and go, say, for example, I did sack you and say, fuck it.
Mm.
And I can't, even saying that statement, I can barely even say that statement. Because it's like, I can't imagine it, mate. Like, we're a fucking team. It's not like, how can I sack you? You're my partner. It's not, it just doesn't even sound right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, my position is, look, I can't stay in this place. I would rather get out of this by winter. I kind of don't want to be moving far from Newcastle. I've got loads of stuff. I'd rather get something.
No, but what is it that's
fairly cheap?
Be honest with me. So
yeah.
In Cheshire, yeah, I can find a way to give you security, property, security, property, bank. Never be able to remove, sign documents to that effect. You can never, ever, ever be touched.
I don't really know Cheshire. I know Newcastle more. I'm quite settled here. It's a bit of an unknown for me, if I'm brutally honest.
But then you talk about using the fucking Bulgaria. It's crazy.
Look, Bulgaria has a bit more of an appeal to me than Cheshire, to be rather frank. I don't know.
And this is where I say to you, is I can't dictate to you. Like,
so
it's your life. All I'm trying
I'm,
to do
I'm
is help, is be a friend to you.
I'm kind of split in the middle. Part of me, a few years ago, was thinking, well, actually, I'd like to get a
a three-bed house up here, it would probably cost about 120k. Maybe there is an opinion in me that, firstly, I'm not going to be living in London. It's too expensive. It's unrealistic to try and get a property in London. Maybe another option is to do the go 50-50. I would like to keep some independence, and this is why I kind of want to get my own place.
50-50 with what? With me?
No, I'm just wondering whether it's rather than get something like a three-bed place in Newcastle for 120, get something much cheaper up here and then get something cheap in banks, though. And then I've got that option.
What is the tie to Newcastle, then?
I don't know. I've just got a lot of stuff. I don't really want... Look, if I'm moving out of this place, I don't... In the short term, because I don't really see myself staying here beyond 6 months, definitely not beyond 6 months, I don't want to be doing a huge move, like halfway across Europe or halfway across the country, even. I quite like it up here. I think Newcastle's got plenty going for itself. I'd rather get something cheap up here, to be honest, and I'd rather have some independence and have some...
I totally understand the independence thing, yeah.
Independence is a key thing for me, it's something that I've always wanted. It's always a defining factor of
So basically, let's just get a step back. High level objective: you want independence and security.
Yeah.
Okay, so can I think about it and come back to you with some ideas?
Yeah, the reality of it is, my thoughts are, I've got a friend who's just got a mortgage.
Where?
He's somewhere over in Gateshead, which I don't want to be, but he's paid just over 100k for a house.
But mate, do you understand that you're a massively key part of this business and you being in Newcastle is not cool?
No, I'll have a think about it. The thing, take away the location of it to a certain degree, but, you know, he's got a mortgage.
What about this, right? What about if I said to you, and I'm literally just thinking out of the box, right? What about if I said to you, we can find a way to give you a flat in Cheshire, yeah?
Yeah.
Company pays for it, whatever. I don't know the numbers. It's got to be fair to everybody in the company, particularly. Yeah. It's yours. In a year's time, you can do what you want with it.
Yeah.
You can sell it, go buy something back in Gateshead. You can sell it, go put a deposit on a house in London. Or, you know, buy a place in London, we'll give you the deposit and interest-free loan for the deposit, or give you the money, whatever. I don't know the answer to that, but all I need to know is what is the critical high-level objectives of Jason Earle, because that's what I care about. And as I'm understanding it, it is... independence.
Yeah.
Okay. So we talked about buying shit together. I think we've experienced a bit of tough times over the last 3 months.
Yeah.
Which probably made you more nervous on that regard, and that's fine. So, you know, I could come back to you and say, fine, we can do this. You own 51%. You own controlling stake. You do whatever you want with it. But I can't justify me or the company giving you that much money, but we'll get the uplift in the capital, whatever. Or whatever, but is it any different to me, really? If you think about it, when I grew up, I went to private school, had a lovely life until I was about 11. Dad lost his business, did various bits and pieces, and then someone ripped him off massively at 14. When I was 14, then I grew up in an environment where we didn't have a fucking phone in the house, we couldn't pay any bills, there was arguments every day. My dad dreamed about Ferraris and Porsches and 15 villas in Spain and helicopters, and probably the reason I bought stupid sports cars, which cost me a lot of money just to satisfy his wants. But, you know, ultimately, you know, if you ask me the same thing as a mate, my objective that I want financially are security.
Yeah.
I want to know that I can live somewhere, pay the bills and be safe. That's number one. Number two, yes, I don't want somebody else to be telling me what I have to fucking do.
Yeah. Independence is a huge thing, and this is why I'm kind of looking on the side of if I'm here in the UK, just get a small mortgage. Look, if my mate's managed to get a mortgage for 100k, he's hardly earning a huge amount because he's got a shit job up north.
Do you understand how I might be able to help if there's a 40% tax implication on any action? So, for example, if we pay you 100 grand and 40% goes to government, and therefore that is the company or my or whoever's cause, that creates a 60%, 60 grand thing. You know, that's all I'm saying, that is like,
so,
and you're a dick.
Look,
and you are a dick, mate, because, like,
I am honestly the best friend
you could ever fucking have, and you haven't even realised
the way
it.
I see this could work is, and this is not necessarily final plan or whatever, but one thing I could do, firstly, if I'm going to get a mortgage over here, I need to get my act together. There's a few things that make it unplausible in the very short term. I need to have some kind of employment history or show that I've been self-employed properly with some tax returns. And this is where I have a bit of nervousness about accounts and stuff.
You're a fool. Sorry to say it, mate, but...
Who
do you think you can put you on PAYE tomorrow? Who do you think can say you've got a PAYE salary of 100 grand? Who do you think can implement that for 3 months?
I'm not saying have a PAYE...
But all I want to fucking do, you fucking moron, is help you.
No. So let me hear me out, okay? If I'm getting a mortgage on a relatively low salary, maybe what I'm thinking is take a low salary, because I've often said, just being on PAYE... getting maybe like 25k on PAYE, it means I can go and get a mortgage in sort of 4 months' time and say, okay, I earn a little bit of money. I'm not paying huge amounts of tax because it's such a small income. The rest of my income I take through, you know, a service company, you know.
Or George gives you a brown envelope.
Or whatever, yeah, brown envelope, whatever. It doesn't really matter. The rest of that money.
Yeah, but it does matter.
It makes it a bit cheaper. So part of me wants to have a small sort of some sort of something to say. I earn something, okay, so I can get a mortgage, be independent, and I can get a cheap property, whether it's up here, whether it's wherever it is. In the UK, because I want a base in the UK somewhere that is basically mine, and I want to be able to choose where it is, and it's got to be my own sort of term.
But what if I can't choose it? What if it has to be somewhere for 1 year, and then you can choose?
I don't want to be moving. Look, otherwise I might as well just rent somewhere in Newcastle, and it's a bit easier.
No, not necessarily, because if I give you a flat, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you own it in the course of
12 months. Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. I have to think about it. I just don't want to be moving halfway across the country when I've got shitloads of stuff to move. You know, I've got furniture and shit. It's probably a couple of vans worth of stuff. I just, the hassle of moving long distance does kind of...
But who owns vans?
Pardon?
Who owns vans?
Who owns what?
Vans.
Okay, well, fair enough. You know, if it can be done, it can be done.
Just step back, mate. Just let's get back to the main point. What are the critical key aspirations you want? And as I understand it, they are independence.
Yeah.
Security.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Those are the major things. I kind of think, you know, look, if I get something dirt cheap up here, I could probably get something under 100k up here, okay. I don't know whether having a mortgage or whether going to Cheshire is the right thing. I have to weigh up the pros and cons of it. But I do kind of think,
Bear in mind, I guess, and I don't know the answer to this, and if Newcastle where you want to be, Newcastle where you want to be. Right?
Yeah.
But the point is, like, say, for example, I don't own property in Newcastle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I own property in Staffordshire or Cheshire, and I can say to you, look, just do this for a year. If you still want to go back to Newcastle, do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can make, because basically I can manipulate the numbers to give you a mortgage ownership of this property for 60, 80, 100 grand, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the next year.
Yeah.
Then you can do whatever you fucking want. Go back to Newcastle, go back to Gateshead, whatever. But
the point is,
in Cheshire, I get to control both sides of it. I get to control the vendor and the purchaser.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I can make value.
Yeah, liabilities.
So basically, let's think about it. No, look at it this way. If you think about it, there's a property, let's say, in Cheshire. I can control vendor and purchaser. I can also control PAYE, deposit, and remuneration to you. So can you imagine, tax efficiency-wise, and also all this credit shit-wise, as in, like, I can make it work that you get the best motherfucking mortgage if there was a mortgage even needed, to your advantage. That's all I'm saying, mate. And I have no fixed agenda, mate. I'm not even... This is literally... I'm not trying to force you down any route. What I'm trying to do is... I guess what I'm trying to do is utilise the assets that I have at hand.
Yeah.
Or the power or influence that I have at hand to advantageous you.
Yeah.
And if that is a huge... And I think, mate, and I haven't worked out any numbers, I haven't done anything, blah, blah. But I think I can. And if it's the course, like, look, mate, you just got to bear with it for a year, but you end up with, like, a fucking fixed security, fucking you own it, it's your independence, you've got security for life, then maybe that's something that I can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. And if you, and then, you know, 6, 12 months, whatever, or even before that, or I don't even know them. I don't have a fixed plan, mate. I'm just talking to you openly. I just know that I don't have any power to affect shit in Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And similarly, I also think about the shit in London. It's like, well, you know, what? Thing you want $750 a month? That's fucking nuts. But, you know, maybe the company pays that. But, you know, I don't know. I'd rather say, let's get a fucking bed sit flat next to the fucking office and everyone can use it.
Yeah.
Which we talked about before. So I'm literally talking off the cuff, as you are.
Yeah.
But basically, Jason Earle wants security, independence, and all.
Yeah.
And do you want that in this country?
I kind of think, rather than having something in London, something outside of London that's cheap, and then something in Europe could be useful that's cheap. I think Bulgaria is quite strategically advantageous because it's cheap, and I want to be able to have the option of being able to reside outside.
It's also the most tax-efficient country in the EU.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kind of thinking I want to be somewhere in the EU, because if we're leaving the EU, then I want to be able to have that option to be there, do you know what I mean, before the gates close.
Again.
And there's a time limit on that, and that's probably even more, that to me is also quite pressing, which is why I'm kind of getting quite twitchy about the property thing, because that needs to be done before, well, really, it should be done by the end of the year. I also think the Bulgaria thing is a bit of an easier thing, because it maybe works for the company, but also, arguably, you could say, well, if I haven't, you know, if Linton's on 40k, or I was on, well, I wasn't on 50k, but I was on 30k doing 3 days a week at RAM. If I say, you know, the last couple of years I've worked full time, even if he's
okay, so take case in point, right? So Linton gets, let's say, 45k is roughly the 40% barrier, right? Anything above that is 40%. Let's say, for example, we said to you, right, yeah, Linton's on this, you should get this, right?
Yeah.
Instead of giving you the enhanced money, we take 20 grand off a property that I can give you.
Yeah, so what I'm saying,
and therefore, and the tax implication of that is there's no tax. You see what I mean, mate? Like, this is why, I haven't even thought this through.
No. So my thoughts are, if I haven't been paid, you know, I probably should have been paid 20k more a year for the last year or two. Maybe that goes towards the property in Bulgaria. It is basically, and you know, that can be done tax efficient, whatever.
So hang on, now you want a place in the UK and Bulgaria. and
well, I don't want to get the place in Bulgaria. I think is an easier option for the business. I don't want to get free property in the UK. What I want to be able to do in the